CliffCentral.com.
All right. It's Thursday morning. It is already the 8th of September. Yeah, you look at that calendar and you're like, oh my God, yes. It's just basically September, October, November, and then December is just a blur. And then before you know it, it's 2023. Right?
Like, is the world spinning faster?
Hang on, let me turn this this music down. Hang on, I can't hear you. Hold on. You were saying?
Do you feel like the world is spinning faster?
Oh, I don't know. So the last 2 days, I've been so sick. I got out of bed yesterday once. I got out of bed once to feed myself, the dog, to have a shower, and I just went straight back to sleep afterwards. I felt like absolute shit. I don't know what's wrong with me. But hopefully I'll be feeling better today. I already feel much better this morning than I did yesterday.
Oh,
and we'll see how it goes. No, well, you know, you get sick. It happens to people from time to time. You just got to get on with it. No one cares. Nobody cares. You don't have to.
Oh, Gareth, we care. We absolutely care.
I'm not asking for sympathy.
It's not sympathy.
Pums, I wasn't fishing for sympathy, I promise.
It's not sympathy. I just want you to know that we love you and we care.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. Thanks so much. Okay, we got the birding platform a little bit later on. It's going to be a fun morning. We've got two return champions. We've got Lieto Ndoba, who obviously has been with us many times. He's from the Central University of Technology. He's a debater and a socio-political analyst. He's also very interested in the subject at hand, which is something a lot of people have been asking you and me to talk about at length. I did a little monologue on it the other day when the court handed down its finding in the hate speech matter, the kill the farmer matter. So we've got Ernst Roots from AfriForum on as well. He's the deputy CEO of AfriForum. He's been on before. He's also the head of policy and action at the Civil Rights Group. So we're going to have those two on, and we'll have a nice, lively, I think, debate about what is hate speech and about what kind of speech should we be protected against. We weak, feeble South Africans, what kind of speech hurts us at our deepest and innermost core? Or do we need to protect against people actually inciting violence? Those are the real arguments at the heart of this discussion. And people have been asking whether you or I have strong views on this. Well, wait and see, because yes, we do. Yes, we do. So that's going to be loads of fun.
Of course we do.
Yeah, do you
want to say, though, that it has come to my attention, Gareth, that there are people listening to this show who think I make things up. We spoke last week about, what's his name, samosa eating.
Yes.
Just before. Somebody sent me an inbox in one of the various things, right, saying he thought I made that up. And when he saw the video, it was even funnier. I just want you to know, I do not make things up. They may sound ridiculous, but that is because ridiculous things are happening all around us. Like Cyril Ramaphosa cutting a ribbon for a pothole fixing.
He didn't. Really? Did he really?
How did you miss that picture? There's a whole picture of Cyril and all these people standing around a pothole that's like...
No, Pumi.
I'm not making it up.
Well, let's see if Ryan can find that for us while we're busy this morning. But here is one thing I did see on Twitter, which I thought was hilarious. Because they do ribbon cutting ceremonies for seemingly anything. Here they put in a tap, all right? So this is in, I can't remember.
So it looks like this. The picture looks like this, but there's a pothole. And Cyril is there looking at the pothole.
They put in this one tap, and they opened it, and finally they were all there to celebrate. Look at them all celebrating. It's unbelievable.
Is that Paul Mashatile? No, it's not.
I'm not sure who it is, but there's the one who was the former Minister of Intelligence. You remember him under Jacob Zuma? He's sort of the one wearing the light-colored shirt. without a jacket.
With his brain on the outside.
Yeah, his brain on the outside. It's freaky, right?
It freaks me out. That.
I can't remember what his name is though. He's disappeared from my memory.
Like, I wish he would grow his hair. Like, people who have that, like, if you just grow your hair on your head.
Couldn't agree more. So while I was lying in bed yesterday, I was scrolling through social media. I did see a lot of stupid stuff. So I blocked most of that from my memory because when I'm not feeling well, I don't take in. There were some funny things going on. Like, for some reason, there was quite a lot of talk about politics yesterday. And I didn't know why. Do you know why? Do you know why that certain subjects were trending?
I don't even know what was trending yesterday, because yesterday I was on a trade visit with one of my clients, and we were like going from Shabin to Shabin, actually. I was on a bit of a pub tour.
Nice, Pumi. That's not a bad way to spend your day. No, it was all about Brian Molefe. He was very much in the news. Shame.
Was he in court again? Or was that just another catch and release?
Again, I'm not sure, because I didn't bother to even go and look it up. I was like, whatever, you know? Not even that interested. Yeah. So I'm very disengaged from this stuff at the moment, and it could be because I'm not feeling great, but I'll be back in it when we come to the Burning Platform later on. You can let us know what you think.
I'm looking at what's trending now, and I see baked beans are trending.
Oh, good. Okay, so obviously the really important stuff has gone to the top of the agenda again this morning. You see, this is why you've got to really feel sorry for these companies that base their entire media and marketing strategy on trending. You know, these companies that tell their marketing department, if you don't pay attention to what's going on and trending on Twitter, then we're not going to do well, because we have to be trending. You know, for them, the most important thing is to be trending positively. They don't realize that to trend positively on Twitter, even if you gave each South African 10,000 rand, you wouldn't trend positively on Twitter. You would have to do some miracle.
Yeah.
You'd have to bring down loaves and fishes from heaven to get that kind of positive trending. But it's amazing to me how many companies put this into their strategy. They're like, we have to trend. It's important for us to trend. And I feel like saying to them, you guys sure you want to do that? Because you know it's going to go badly for you, right? You know it's not a good idea to trend. It's usually a very dangerous thing.
Wow. So Stink Mina, ZA, says, Eskom recovered the pension payout made to Brian Molefe.
Oh, so he paid back that money?
How? Last week he was like arguing with the judge about not being able to pay back the 50,000 to pay the 50,000 rand bail. Huh. And now suddenly he's paid like the whole millions of his
Well, good. I mean, we'll take it, right? So where does that money go? Back into the fiscus?
Back to Eskom.
Oh, good. Back to Eskom. All right, well, then maybe we can...
Eskom pension fund.
Maybe we can all get a 20 cents reduction in our bill this month. That would be nice. All right. There are a couple of voice notes for the show for this morning. You want to hear some of those?
Voice notes. Do we have a voice notes jingle?
Oh, wait. I found your Cyril picture of him fixing the pothole. Hang on a second. This is too good. This is too good to just breeze past. Sorry. Here it is. All right. Are you ready? So great. This is in Delmas in Mpumalanga. Right? Jesus. All right, yeah, thanks. This is our president fixing a pothole. Or not even fixing it himself, just leaning over and checking it out, like he's going to know whether it's been put in properly or not. Like he's suddenly a structural engineer. Okay, you ready? There's the big moment. Dun, da, da, da. There he is, Silili. Looking at a pothole with his ANC hat on. Isn't that great? Make you feel like we're on the right track? All right. So, the story is that, and here it is, we've got the whole story about Brian Molefe. They have recovered 30 million rand that was unlawfully paid to his pension fund. That would have been a nice pension for him, hey? Sure. He would have done really well out of that. I mean, 30 million rand, that pays quite nicely, doesn't it? And that was over and above what he was already owed.
That money would have been squandered, and he would. We know this because one of the stories. Remember, one of the stories that came out after Brian Molefe left Eskom with that pension payout, early payout, was something about him fighting for like a 50,000 rand veterans kind of payout as well, monthly, like. These people.
Well, it says here, Eskom said it had fully recovered millions which were illegally paid to him. Molefe resigned in 2016 and took early retirement from the utility. However, millions were at stake. But the DA and the trade union Solidarity took the matter to court. Again, thank you very much to all these organizations that are using the courts to recover money that belongs to people in South Africa that it isn't in the accounts of. So well done. In this case, the credit goes to the DA and Solidarity. In January 2018, the North Gauteng High Court ordered the former CEO to pay back the millions used for his pension, a ruling which was reinforced in July this year. In a brief statement, Eskom confirmed that it had recovered the 30 million rand and said it would not be commenting any further on the matter. So what do you think of that? You say it would have been squandered anyway.
I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
I don't think I believe it, but anyway.
All right. Gene says that that road that Cyril was looking at, it's a gravel road in any case. So why are they even... It looks like it could be a tar road.
It's a tar road. It is a tar road. It's just badly... It's like not swept.
It's in very poor condition. I mean, it's in terrible condition, right? So either way, it's really bad.
What is Cyril doing in that picture? Like, everything about that picture is just like, right. His eyes out like this, he's leaning into the thing.
We've got very smart listeners. Sanele's just reminded me that guy in the picture was David Mahlobo. Remember him? And Sanele says, have you heard him speak? I can't believe that guy was in charge of our country's intelligence. Maybe Cyril was checking if there was hidden money in the pothole, you know, like in his sofas. Yeah. Big Ball Subanda says, I love that name, last week's burning platform was a bit hard to listen to with Pumi interrupting the ANC guy. Oh, really? You think Pumi was interrupting him? If she hadn't interrupted him, he might have fallen asleep.
This is the thing. This is what I learned about myself last week. I actually tweeted about it. I think I have learned over the years as I've grown older to be less emotional. So I don't get as angry as I know as I used to, or you know, any of those kinds of, so like my emotions are in check. But my God, last week I realized that I actually have a patience issue. I have an issue with, I don't think my as I get older, I think my tolerance for bullshit gets less.
So I don't have a problem with people interrupting, especially when someone is droning. Now, I do want him to come back. Dada Morero is his name. He's the head of...
But we need parameters. We need parameters for him.
If you're going to drone and be boring for like 10-minute blocks, which is kind of what we were trending towards with him, and it's driving everyone in the audience crazy, it is your job, Pumi, and my job, to interrupt him and bring him back into the conversation. Because this is not a place for monologues. This is not a place where we invite you as a guest and you get to grandstand and produce rhetoric for 10 minutes. Now, I'm not saying that's what he did, but as a politician, that is always their default position, right? Politicians will always do that stuff if you give them the time. I was very happy when you interrupted him. Of course, if you interrupt him, it's because you're interruptee and you're not giving him a chance. If I interrupt him, it's of course because I don't care about the ANC or because I'm a white racist or whatever. But the fact is we've got to keep the conversation moving, and that's important. You know, if you have a politician on and you don't give them parameters, it's a disaster.
It's like it was a little bit like, you know, when like a soccer match is near, there's like 5 minutes left and one team is one, and then they're just like wasting time so that the clock runs out. It was horrendous. I actually couldn't. I just was just like, guy, what are you, what? We need parameters now. We need people must respond concisely and quickly. Right. People are like, it's in the morning. People are waking up and getting ready for, work and school and life. We're not supposed to bore them to stack deep.
All right, listen to this quickly. So here are a couple of voice notes for the show for this morning. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Cliff Central fam, it's Happiness from Australia. Don't know if you guys remember me, but I am just wanting to say hello. And as you can hear, I'm still recovering from the weekend because I went to watch the Boca, and it was great. Great because I have no idea how the game works, but still managed to come back with no voice. And taught a few white people some apartheid songs. Yes, all of them. Even the one that went to court, we were singing it and they were singing it back. And we managed to shut down a restaurant, not a club, a restaurant with our amapiano music. So I just wanted to let the Cliff Central fam know that I am representing South Africa very black and very well. And also just wanted to let you guys know that I still watch. And also, Simpiwe and Dory, please read my emails. I sent a juicy one for Dr. Hanan the other day. Anyway, have a good day, everyone.
All right.
And thank you for entertaining us. Bye.
Well, I have it on good authority from the producers that Happiness from Australia, who we just heard, is the next guest on Dr. Hanan. So we've got that juicy email in the inbox, and we have read it, and she will be on Monday. Here are some more.
She is entertaining.
She's great. You see now, you wouldn't have to interrupt her, right? No.
If you're private school versus government school, then maybe the access to education or the level of education, there's a disparity.
Yes.
Isn't there a way we could send all children to go into a filling station set up tight somewhere where they all just get plugged in?
Gas them up.
And they all get an education.
Well, I'm just being nostalgic. Can you believe that? You know, the old ClivCentral.com podcasts are just timeless. They are so amazing. I still can't believe the amount of inspiration, education, entertainment I get from them every time I listen to them. I mean, all of them, they are so good. I just want to share that. And by the way, it's Boozer Thursday. Morning, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay, that's someone else's podcast. So that's a podcast with...
Well, that's Dr. Cindy.
No, she's not. No, she's no longer with us.
I know, but I'm just saying, is that the podcast that he was listening to?
I don't know. I don't think so. But that's a part of a podcast, and the host eventually ends off with, it's Puzza Thursday. So I think that's pretty interesting. Good. The more the merrier. Here's another one.
Morning. Sanela here. I'm just watching everybody in the comments going, shit over who is a professional and who isn't. I would like to point out that the original professionals are prostitutes. That's why they are called pros. Every other profession or professional is just a troll.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Correct. The original prostitutes. It's even in the name, prostitute. So, yes, very, very good. Thank you, Sanele. Lots of interesting stuff going on there. Lucky Twene says the burning platform should be getting a lot of attention. Well, it does. I mean, it gets a fair amount of attention. You know what the problem is? Frankly, the people who should be listening to the burning platform probably aren't. And because all of you guys do, we're almost preaching to the choir a lot of the time, which is why we encourage everybody who has not listened to that show before to come and listen. And I encourage – that's why we wanted the ANC on last week. That's why we want all of the parties to come and join us. We want every possible piece of political ground in this country to be a part of that conversation. Because really, otherwise, we're not even listening to each other. Carl says, Gareth.
The good news is we're going into an election year. So they're going to be – everybody's going to be looking for any available microphone.
That's true.
So we're about to have an interesting couple of months, guys.
That is true. Carl says, Gareth, there's something wrong with your mic this morning. It's like you're too close to something. It sounds like you're talking through a checkers. No, that's because my voice is fucked. But thanks very much, Carl. That's because I don't have a voice at the moment. So it's got nothing to do with my microphone, I'm afraid. I'd love to say it was the microphone's fault, but it isn't. All right, well, it's 22 past 6. You want to get into some headlines?
Headlines.
All right, let's take a look. So apparently, Jacob Zuma is pushing to accuse Billy Downer, the advocate, of sharing his confidential medical records with Karen Morn, even though it became a public document after his own lawyers submitted it to the court. So this sounds like a nonsense case from the get-go. News 24 has described former President Jacob Zuma's push to privately prosecute the lead prosecutor in the arms deal trial, Billy Downer, and its journalist, Karen Morn, as an attack on media freedom. Zuma has accused Downer of sharing his confidential medical records with Morn, even though it was a public document after his own lawyers submitted it to the court. The National Prosecuting Authority in April announced its decision not to prosecute Downer, labeling the accusations baseless and without merit. The Zuma Foundation spokesperson, Mzwanele Manyi, said that the charges are very serious. Yeah, of course, because when Jimmy Manyi says something, we take it terrifically seriously, right?
Okay, so I did see a small piece of that Jimmy interview, I think, on Newsroom with Thabo Mdluli. And it was so fascinating to watch because he keeps saying, no, you see, the law, the act says, and then he has a number, 14.16.8, says nobody is allowed to give any information to anyone. The whole time I'm just like, that makes no sense, guy. That cannot be. No one's allowed to give any information to anyone. Like, what are you talking about?
But it's amazing to me how Mzwanele Manyi always chooses the wrong side. He can be relied upon to always choose the losing side in any discussion or argument. Isn't that true? Every time.
You know, and for me, this was a guy who was speaking about professionals who had a great career, who was a consummate professional, whose entire career, and now the footnote is going to be in history, is, as you say, always choosing the wrong side. He just completely fucked up what was a great career. He could have had a good life.
I don't think he really believed in himself, which is why he went into politics. Because, you know, if you go into politics, it's because you're not sure that you've got something that you can sell.
I've met him quite a number of times and had many conversations with him before and after the fall. And it's still very surprising to me. I think that one of the things that is going to be an indictment on the ANC over and above every other thing that they have gotten wrong in the past 25 odd years is how reckless they have been with so many people's lives and careers. Reckless. And you know, I think about Siyabonga Gama, who was at a time one of Africa's top transportation, logistics, and rail executives, Africa, in Africa.
Right.
And look, you know, now he's in the dock because of reckless politicians and what has happened to people. It's awful. It's awful.
Okay. It's interesting here. Congo Chris says, the longer the case stays in trial, the longer he can hide behind medical parole, and all the while the taxpayer must open their wallet to foot the bill. That may be a good point, too, with the Zuma situation. Let's move on, though. The ANC in Johannesburg, that would be Dada Morero, who we spoke to just yesterday, has refuted allegations of bribery and corruption that's been leveled against its councillors. So, see, we put people on. Guess what? The next week they're in the news. And he was in the news the very next day, because they tried to get a vote of no confidence against the council speaker and the mayor. So it turns out that the ANC in Johannesburg says there are no bribery and corruption and you know, sort of untoward things going on in their section of the city of Johannesburg. The regional chairperson, Dada Marrero, says there's no proof of any of these allegations. The ANC councillors bribed IFP and Patriotic Alliance councillors, and then it must be brought forward. This follows reports of vote buying that resulted in the council speaker being ousted. This week, seven political parties who are in a coalition government in the city of Johannesburg opened a case of bribery against the ANC. The ANC allegedly offered a bribe of 150,000 rand to buy votes from councillors, which will also see Mayor Dr. Mpopalatse ousted in this vote of no confidence.
The and motion, did he not try and say to us, well, you know, lobbying is everywhere around the world.
People, yes, that's right.
And maybe we need to just consider how we...
Absolutely. Yeah, correct. So anyway, we'll see what happens. But he says, we've not bribed anyone. We'll stand by our word. And we're telling those... we're saying to those who say this, tell us who we bribed, he says. I don't know what you make of that. All right, so that's all the news that we've got from that side of things. Let me just see whether we've got something else here.
Did you see the news headline of the guy in Memphis that has
who?
Been driving around? There was on the news yesterday. I think it was because when I woke up this morning, kind of around 2 or whatever, they were reporting it in the States, in Memphis, a shooter who was driving around, changing cars like in a video game, and just randomly stopping and opening fire. Shot 5 people before he was caught.
Jesus. Well, apparently there was also... apparently there was also something in Canada?
Dude. A stabbing. 10 people.
Yes, correct. Canada. Yeah.
Like stabbing incidents. But this guy in Memphis was ridiculous. It's kind of like, you know how on GTA, the guy drives around and stops at a gas station and shoots at people, gets back in his car, drives around to something. This is what this guy in Memphis was doing.
Yeah, they're calling it a spree. The man wanted for the Memphis shooting spree is in custody, apparently. Police have said the suspect responsible for causing terror and fear Wednesday night across the city of Memphis and the Mid-South has been taken into custody. A detailed live update of the events has been published, and apparently they've gone through the whole timeline to figure out what this guy did.
Yeah, because he had it on his Facebook Live.
Wow. You can't figure out with these people what they're actually after, right? But he was charged with first-degree attempted murder back in 2020. He was also charged with aggravated assault, the employment of a firearm with intent to commit a dangerous felony, and reckless endangerment with a deadly weapon all those years ago. But, of course, these people get released, and they are not rehabilitated. I don't know if it's possible to rehabilitate someone who does those things. And he went on a shooting spree in Memphis. So he took his time. He had a plan. There was a shelter-in-place order for the city of Memphis until they caught him, which meant that lots of people were hiding in their houses hoping that he wouldn't come anywhere near them. But he took this long drive and basically was just shooting at people randomly. He also carjacked a Dodge Challenger in South Haven and wrecked it out on Whitehaven near Ivan Road. I don't know if you know where that is, but it doesn't matter. That's very specific. He was trapped in the car as of 9:15 p.m. Law enforcement got there, and they were able to get him out of the car. He's alive and in custody. So they're going to have to figure out what actually happened here. But the license plate of the vehicle that he apparently took is a gray Toyota SUV, and they say that he was responsible all alone. There was no one else acting. And they put out these warnings on the news about, if you see this car, be very careful. And this is the guy, Ezekiel Kenny, is what they say his name is. So he's a convicted felon who went on to do all of this horrible and dastardly stuff as well. What an awful story, huh? Can you imagine?
Right.
Going about your business. Maybe you've gone out for supper. Maybe you're doing something. And this lunatic decides to get in his car, or someone else's car, carjack it, and then drive around just shooting people. This is Ezekiel Kelly. There he is. Doesn't look like such a dangerous guy in that picture, does he?
He looks a bit like Zoto Avant.
All right, well, there it is.
I'm That's serious, he does.
From Memphis, Tennessee. All right, then, a shark attack has killed a U.S. cruise passenger in the Bahamas. You know, these stories happen so rarely now that they have to be reported in all the headlines, right? So a U.S. cruise ship passenger was killed by a shark while snorkeling near the Bahamas on Tuesday. The 58-year-old woman from Pennsylvania was on an excursion near Green Cay near Nassau when the incident took place. Police later said that they'd identified a bull shark as the killer. A similar incident took place in the area, taking the life of a 21-year-old American in 2019. Despite gripping public attention, shark attacks are exceedingly rare. And it's important that they say that, even though it takes them a few lines to get there, because people have this unbelievable, irrational fear of sharks. But actually, the number of shark attacks that occur in the world, tiny, right? Yeah, it's Jaws' fault. Totally.
It's from Jaws. It's from Jaws.
Absolutely. Spot on.
Like, nobody was even thinking about the fact that she could have just been blissfully swimming and been...
Right. Family members and tour company staff saw her being attacked and managed to pull her from the water. A local news outlet, Eyewitness News, quoted Ms. Skippings as saying that the victim suffered wounds to her upper extremities, so that would be her arms. The victim was declared dead by authorities after being taken to shore. Her cruise ship, the Harmony of the Seas, was docked in Nassau at the time of the attack. It had begun its seven-day cruise of the Western Caribbean from Port Canaveral in Florida. Sure.
Cargo Chris. Cargo Chris.
What did he say?
The fate of micro shark attacks, of people having their feet bitten off on the U.S. East Coast. Are you hating on sharks, Combo?
All right. in other news, let's take our attention to the earliest evidence of amputation has been found in a cave in Indonesia. Researchers found a buried 31,000-year-old body of a young person that shows evidence of leg amputation. The find pushes back the origin of this complicated surgery by more than 24,000 years. That's amazing. That's a huge stretch of time. After the procedure, the person was cared for by their ancient community for years until their death. Dr. Melandri Flock, who examined the body, said it was quite clear that surgery had been carried out. A detailed examination of the ancient body, details which are published in the journal Nature, took place when the person was a child. So how do you like that, Pumi? That's quite interesting. Huh? Yeah. 31,000 years ago, our ancestors were already doing amputations. And that's pretty impressive.
And here we are, lip-sync battling.
Yeah, but I mean, they were able to do these amputations and successfully. You know, they clearly managed to look after this person for a long time after the amputation. They lived for many years after this, which is quite amazing, I think. And this is obviously very interesting. They carefully brushed away the deposits and recorded the lower half of the remains. We could see that the left foot was absent, but also that the remaining bone fragments were unusual. So we were excited at the range of possibilities. The excavation team subsequently asked the doctor, who is based at the University of Sydney, to examine the remains. With a discovery like this, she said, it's a mixture of excitement and sorrow because this happened to a person. Oh, come on. Do we really have sorrow? What a lot of shit. See, this is where universities are starting to let themselves down. You don't need to be emotional about a skeleton that you've dug up here in amputation 31,000 years ago. There is not one person alive today who remembers that guy or girl. And it isn't important that you feel sad for them. Is that honestly what they got out of this idiot? This is supposed to be a person with skills, you know? I can't help thinking...
The skills can also be accompanied by a level of humanity.
Oh, God.
Maybe
it's because I'm feeling sick that I think this is bullshit. But really, your job is not to tell us about how you feel about the corpse. It's not a corpse anyway. It's a corpse if it's recent. This is an archaeological artifact. Put it in a drawer and let people study it. It is not, whether it was a person or not, it's completely unimportant. After 31,000 years, really? Come on. Honestly, Pums, do you think that that's an issue?
All I'm saying is 31,000 years ago, people were figuring out how to care for wounded or whatever was wrong with him. And here we are, and we're sick battling. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, fair enough. That is kind of then, embarrassing. Yeah.
This is where we are. The Kardashians and lip sync battling.
So, if I let you go into any shop you want to steal stuff, what would you steal? What would you steal? If I said to you, you could go, well, let's just say I gave you permission, so it wouldn't be stealing. So you could choose a shop, you can go in there and you can take whatever you want. Which shop would it be?
I think it would have to be like one of those department stores, you know, like Macy's that have lots of different types of things, because I think I would love some like fancy earrings and rings and perfume and a PS5 for Kaneho.
Well, the last
propaganda says an air fryer.
The last part of this is where you're close to the money, because three brazen thieves stole Lego from shops that was worth £4,650 in a two-day spree. The men, all from London, took high-value kits of the plastic play bricks from B&M stores in Nottinghamshire on the 29th and 30th of August. It took them 2 days to do this. They included Lego-branded Minecraft sets and Disney princess castles. Officers launched a manhunt after the kits were piled into reusable shopping bags and lifted from the stores in Nottinghamshire. The thieves, dressed in T-shirts, shorts, and baseball caps, were caught when an officer spotted a full vehicle of toys in the Newark area on the 31st of August. Checks were carried out, and a team of officers stopped the vehicle as it traveled along the A17. All three male occupants were then arrested and later charged with three counts of theft. So these guys were working together over a period of 2 years. They must have planned this meticulously. And what were they stealing? Lego.
What?
Lego.
Although Lego is expensive. Lego is expensive.
Oh, yeah. So they've been jailed for 18 weeks, suspended for 12 months. That's their sentence. But they're also banned from entering any B&M store in England and Wales for a year. Ooh, that's going to hurt them more. Sergeant Anthony Coleman said, suspicions were aroused by the considerable amount of Lego in the vehicle, adding that these brazen thieves were swiftly caught. He added, they traveled to Nottingham to commit these high-value thefts, thinking they could get away with it. They were wrong. That's what he said. Okay. All right.
The fact that they planned for 2 years. There's so much going on here. Who are they going to sell this Lego to? What were they like?
Maybe they were just really into Lego, you know?
Sure.
Just really into Lego. They needed this Lego, like desperately, because they wanted to build princess castles. So there we go. That's what you need to know in the news this morning. Lots of good stuff. Let's do one more voice note here. I don't want to leave these behind. So here's one of the ones that we didn't get to earlier. You ready?
All right, all right, all right. Good morning, Gareth and the Cliff Central team. This is Brandon, long-time listener since the very first show, and have hardly missed a show since then. Wishing you folks a fantastic Wednesday. I always look forward to the Wednesday shows. It's a bit of a wild card. You never know who the guest is going to be. I see Gord Laws is back in town, so that might be a bit of a surprise. But if not, whoever it is, I'm sure it'll be good.
Yep.
Have a fantastic day. Ciao.
Well, you're in luck because Gord will be on tomorrow. So lots of excitement around that. Very, very cool. Okay, we want to hear from you on the comments, so send us a comment. And also, as you know, you have to like and subscribe, otherwise the whole thing is worthless in the eyes of YouTube. So if we're going to do this YouTube thing, we need you to like and subscribe, otherwise we have major problems. So just go on there, please, do it right now. If we have to ask you again, it's going to get annoying for us, it's going to be annoying for you. Hop on.
Oh, you were sick yesterday, so you obviously didn't watch the Apple event.
No, but we talked about it on the show yesterday morning. Did you watch it?
No, I did not. Because I am a fan of Apple, and yeah. I am still on an XS. I'm on, like, Apple 10. And now right. we're four phones away, and my phone is, as you know, I've been having phone problems, right?
Right.
What I saw when I woke up this morning, just kind of looking through the timelines, seeing what people are, that phone looks nice. I'm sure the price is even nicer.
Have you seen how nice the watch looks? Now that looks good. See, again, I mean, I'm a slave to this. So I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend I'm above it. Like, I'm better than that. Oh, you can't market your bullshit to me. You can. And I will buy it. I mean, if I had an extra couple of thousand rand lying around, I would buy the new watch. I promise you. But it's expensive. And I don't need it. I mean, I've had that first generation watch, which I've still got, for ages. This one's so old and outdated, I don't even think the software can update. Mm. But I've still got it. And I don't wear it very much. So, I mean, I can count. Well, no, but I can count the number of times I've actually worn it on probably two hands in a year. So it's not worth me getting another one of these. Mm. I think that a new phone's probably a good idea. So you're on the XS. I'm on the 11. So I'm still on an iPhone 11, for me. So I'm not that much more advanced than you. Trust me. And I see the new. Look, what's interesting, I think, for a lot of people is the new operating system, iOS 16, which Ryan was telling us about yesterday. Look and feel is completely different. It speeds up the phone. Everything is that much more efficient. There are different ways that you can do things. That sounds like a win. And apparently we'll all have access to that on the 15th or 16th of this month. So stick around for that. That's good. Congo Chris says, I don't know why Apple needs to have live events. Just look at what Android did 3 years ago, and that'll be the new Apple. Well, that's what Greg in our office always tells me. He's like, oh, you guys who watch these Apple things, if you just saw what Android did a year ago, 2 years ago, you'll see what Apple's going to do. And mostly, I mean, I don't argue with Greg. He knows his stuff, right?
And this is where amazing marketing and design can combine to mind-blowing effects, right?
Sure.
Because have you seen that? There's that little comic. It's very funny. That they haul it out. It does the rounds on YouTube every year after the Apple event. That's it. With the guy that, do you guys have the Apple iPhone 10? And the guy's like, no. But have you seen this Android? It does this and this and this and this and this. And the guy says, I don't care. I want an iPhone 10. He says, have you seen this other Android and this other? And says, I don't care. I want an iPhone, whatever the new number is. And that's the thing. That's what marketing does. I don't care. I just want the cool, new, shiny thing.
Did you ever see that clip of the Windows 95 launch with all the nerds on stage dancing?
No.
Bill Gates and No. They had the whole crew from Windows back in those days. And they're all Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates. And they all dance on stage. I'm going to ask Ryan if he can't find it for us, because you need to see this. You know, whenever I see people doing a presentation, I'm like, okay. Because, you know, Pumi, we do presentation training. And it's really important to do a good presentation. We've had Rich Mulholland on. His whole business is doing, you know, great presentations. And you've got people who do TED Talks and all kinds of stuff these days. And they do them really well, and I'll give credit where it's due. If you can do a good presentation, you can obviously, you know, please an audience. You can usually put a good show on. People will listen. People will be impressed. They'll want to take part in your product or your service or whatever. But then I see something like Windows 95's launch back in the day, and obviously a lot has changed. So I'm willing to accept that, you know, things are not exactly what they once were. But I look at this and I go, well, there's proof that it actually doesn't matter how you dress it up or how you market it. If the product itself is good and people believe in it, and I mean, as you recall, Windows 95 will go down in history as being one of the worst Windows that came out. But they were so excited when they got on stage and they handed this over to the public and they introduced it to the world. And it did very well. I think it sold record numbers of software across the world, made Bill Gates and company some of the richest people in the history of money. And yet their presentation was so shit that it beggars belief. So I'm going to see if I can't find that clip.
That crazy, terrible presentation in and of itself is part of the thing that piqued the interest of all people. Because it's always, you know, there's always a, you just, the magic is in the magic. Sometimes it's the most gormless things that pique the interest of people. And sometimes it's got to be slick and beautiful and and that's what, but it's, the magic is in the magic. While you're looking for that clip, you know, I thought about our presentation skills package, and I thought, maybe we should phone Dada. You know, I spent the whole afternoon last week, Thursday, really kind of thinking back at the train wreck that was the show. And I was thinking, maybe before we invite him on, we should give him like a free crash course on how to like maximize the opportunity that he has in front of a microphone. Well,
listen, I mean, I think all of our politicians, John Steenhuisen could do with a couple of tips. no, really. Mosiwa Lekota can clearly be told not to eat samosas before a fight breaks out. You know, there's certain things that you can do. And we could offer this service to people because we know how to make them a little bit better. Yeah, for sure.
I really think Dada, we should like make it a package deal for Dada. I think he could benefit tremendously. It was shame, man. I felt bad for him.
Well, you know what? It would be good for the country as well if our politicians were better at presenting themselves and better at communicating ideas. Because at the moment, the ANC needs all the help it can get in that realm. They really do. Bronwyn says, no, porn and advertising makes up the majority of the internet. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, what? That is true. No, because they were talking about like Windows 95. And Tracy says, that clip is the most awkward thing to watch. No rhythm, dad buds, running sneakers, dad jeans, so awkward. Absolutely. I'm going to try and find it for you. We're digging it up off the internet. It's so bad. Oh, it's so bad. And they all, you know, there's something about like nerds that are dancing that is just, it's cringe. It reminds you of the unpopular kids at high school. And there's no doubt that the unpopular kids at high school were the nerds, and they probably end up being the guys and girls who end up with all of the money after school. So life has a funny way of rewarding people, right? Here's an interesting thing. Lucky says, Steve Jobs' daughter says the new iPhone 14 is the same as an iPhone 13. Well, okay, there are two things to unpack here. First of all, that's probably
Steve Jobs' daughter.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. What, like we suddenly, do we think that all of his genius just seeped into his children? How many genius people do you know whose children are just duds? Seriously, how many brilliant people do you know who have the most ordinary kids on earth? This is something we never talk about and we should be honest about. We've got to stop attributing as if it's some kind of, you know, it's purely in the DNA. This idea that you can transmute your great skills or your great genius or your great intellect to your children. I know so many fantastic, tremendous genius talent. People who are able to invent things and talk about any subject with alacrity, able to stretch their knowledge and the knowledge of humanity across several subjects, work on things that are on the very cutting edge of innovation, and they come along and they have kids, and they have these complete slob lummox children who just eat off of the reputation of their parents. So apparently her name is Eve Jobs. I think that's a lie. But if it is, that's hilarious. If her name really is Eve Jobs, that's so funny. I do like that. That's hilarious. Congo Chris says, we need to send John Steenhuisen to a training montage. He's gotten a bit tubby since going from Chief Whip to leader.
Hi, guys. Body shaming.
This is the show. Pumi, this is the show for body shaming. But I do want to say this. So Steve Jobs' daughter, Eve Jobs, says that the iPhone 14 is the same as 13. She may be right, but we shouldn't give her extra attention just because she's Steve Jobs' daughter. Right, Pums? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. Like, where was she saying this? Why was she saying this? Why is anyone talking to her about phones?
I don't know.
She'd be like Paris Hilton. Just, you know?
Yes. Yes. I mean, Paris Hilton. That woman. Listen. She became famous. She did very well. You know, I see that this is one of the things I scrolled past as quickly as I could yesterday. But I saw that Kim Kardashian is launching a private equity fund along with some investors. Yes. Yes. The Kim Kardashian private equity fund. So now she's going to find new ways of taking money from her stupid followers. So, I mean, I don't have to tell our audience. Don't. But go and have a look. All right. So here is the clip. I'm not, there's no sound on this, so you're just going to have to imagine that there's a rhythm.
Even
in the
worse.
Background. But take a look, because the reason we have to take the sound out is because otherwise YouTube nails us for copyright infringement. But watch this. We'll keep our microphones on and play you the sound of Bill, well, not the sound, the video of Bill Gates and the other guys from Windows celebrating the Windows 95 launch. Are you ready? This is so great. Look at them. Oh, yeah. Look at them. Unbelievable. And they are just, it's so bad. And like Bill's head is like going backwards and forwards, like a, you know, those birds that, it's so horrible. And the one guy's like air punching and now Bill's clapping and it's just so awful. And you could see they were forced to do this and no one wanted to do it, right? It's so awful.
They wanted to do this. Nobody can force you to do such a thing. They wanted to do this.
Okay. All right. Okay. And neither should we be giving Steve Wozniak any unnecessary attention, says Sharon. Okay. All right. Very good. They look like forex traders. Fake. I suppose that means, you know, the Kim Kardashian people. Golfers still look like that. That's true. They are dressed like golfers, right? Like if you had to explain the outfit to someone who was just listening, they're wearing like golfer outfits. You know, sort of
they
the baggy,
are.
Loose,
golf
loose pants. Golf shirts, right, exactly. So awful, though. I'm so glad we got to play that. Because when I saw it again, I was like, ugh, cringe. So cringe. And Corona's Boring wants to know, are they dancing to We Are Family? No, they aren't. I think they were dancing to some rock song.
Now I'm going to have to go look for this
like
one.
Life is a highway, I'm on a ride it all night. Something like that. I can't remember, but it's so bad. It's just so awful. They wanted to. No one can force you to be this horrible. Tabo agreeing with
I
you
agree,
for me.
I agree, Tabo. Yeah. I 100% agree.
Yeah. So Sharon says, no, the Windows guys look like forex traders. Fake. I've seen these online forex traders air punching, etc. Oh, yeah. Listen, there are so many scammers online at the moment. I see, like, people who friends of mine are following on social media. And these people are posting, like, videos about how you can do forex trading. But I can tell you right now, having sometimes met some of these people, they couldn't organize a piss-up in a brewery. Oh, it's Start Me Up. That's the song. It was the Rolling Stones. You can start me up. Never stop.
Listen, the online scammers thing.
Yeah.
The online scammers thing is,
yes.
Is now out of control. It is really bad. But I have felt like a bit of a guide when you get a friend request or a follow, whatever, from somebody who is an impossibly hot girl who has nobody but men following them.
Definitely.
It's a scam.
Alarm bells. Yeah.
It's a scam. But yeah. I also read an article about a scam happening on LinkedIn. Now, you would think LinkedIn is a place where there won't be many scams, right? Because it's like a professional network and whatever. But these scammers have a very sophisticated thing. So they'll send you about working from home, an opportunity, a new company. You can work from home 100%, all of this, all of that. And if you're interested, this is, go here, professional looking website. Check out the websites, and several people have actually fallen for this. Professional looking website. They organize a Zoom interview for you. A Zoom interview, of course. You know?
Sure. Like, who wouldn't go for that?
Go through the whole process, send you a letter of appointment. You're hired. This is great. And then we're going to send you equipment. So we're going to send you a laptop because you're working from home, and we're going to send you this and this and this.
All right.
And then that's where the problem starts, right? Oh, you're in South Africa. Okay. So getting the stuff to you is a little bit hard from where we are. So we will send you money so you can buy it from. And then the money doesn't show up, and then they'll send you a, like, proof of payment. The money has been sent to you because you've given them your banking details because you filled in all the forms now that you are employed.
So sophisticated.
Oh, we've overpaid you. Please can you deposit back into this account, this X amount? It's crazy. So
then what, they would get your bank details when you make the payment back, and then they would be able to hack in.
Yeah, wow. So they can hack in, or even, or they'll send you a proof of payment, because, right, if you get employed, what do? You fill in all of your details, including your banking details, where they can pay you your salary, right, so that you can get your salary with at the end of the week or month or whatever it is, dude. And then they'll send you a proof of payment that says, we have put in 10,000 rand into your account for you to buy a laptop and whatever necessary gadgets you need. And we were supposed to put in 5,000. Please, can you pay us back the 5?
Right, right. So you know what? This is where we need blockchain technology, because that is one surefire, 100% sure way to make certain that someone actually has paid you, or that you owe someone, or that there's, you know, the numbers are real. You can't bullshit the blockchain. That's where it will be handy, and that's why I still believe in a completely tangential discussion in the future of things like Ethereum. But it's going to be a while before people will believe that stuff. In the meantime, I mean, when you get a proof of payment, you don't know if someone's messed with that. They can change a PDF.
Yeah.
You know how people are. They can scan things in. I mean, people were already forging documents long before they were digital. Remember people using Tippex? Remember back in the day?
Right. Tippex and thinking and photocopying.
Yes. And anyway, if you photocopied something with Tippex, you couldn't see the Tippex.
Yeah.
Everybody learned that trick at school. You just had to find a photocopying machine, which wasn't so easy to find at that point, because we didn't all have printers in our houses, right? Anyway, so we've got to take a break. It's 7 o'clock. When we come back, it's the Burning Platform. Stick around for that and a whole lot more. CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.